Hello, and welcome to Creative Playdate, the show for people pursuing creative careers while also raising children. I'm Michelle Kondrich. Today's episode is with children's illustrator Janie Ho. Her illustration has appeared in books and magazines and on stickers and toys and games and all sorts of products for kids. And her debut author-illustrator picture book, Bear and Chicken, is out now. It's adorable and you should all go check it out after you listen to this episode. Or before, whatever you want. We had a really lovely conversation and I think you will enjoy it. I'm here today with illustrator Janie Ho. Janie specializes in the children's market, and her work has appeared in educational books and magazines, on toys and stickers, and almost any product you can think of for kids. Her debut author-illustrator picture book, Bear and Chicken, is also out now. Welcome to the show, Janie.
Thank you for having me.
So the show is focused on parents in all sorts of visually creative industries. For those who are less familiar with the children's market, can you give a bit of background on your career so far?
Wow. that's quite a lot. But for the past 10 years or so, I've been a freelance illustrator. So like you said, mostly in the children's book industry. So I do a lot of board and novelty books, a lot of games, a lot of greeting cards. So all sorts of different industries, but I always do stuff for kids. And before that, I worked as a designer and an art director in kids magazines. So I guess I've always done stuff for kids. My first job out of school was in the fashion industry, and that was in children's wear. So yeah, everything I've done so far has been related to kids, and I love it. So,
How did your parents feel about you pursuing first fashion and then illustration?
Oh gosh, I don't think they wanted me to go to art school in general. So that was a hard sell for them, especially since I'm the first generation to go to college. And it took some convincing, but I was pretty surprised they let me go to art school. But I did have, wanted to do fashion for, because that's why I went to Parsons School of Design, because they had a great fashion program. And when I first, my parents were okay. They ended up letting me go, but my first year there taking a fashion design class, I was like, this is not for me. And everybody was saying, maybe you should become an illustrator. And I had no idea that there was a career in illustration and what that was, you know. And so, but I fell in love I didn't really declare a major yet the first year, but the second year, sophomore year, we declared majors and I was still struggling, but I decided to major in illustration. So I always joke that my parents still don't know, you know, don't quite know what I do for a living, but I do okay for myself and I'm independent. So I guess they know I'm fine. So
I feel like a lot of illustrators, probably their parents feel that, you know, they feel that way, that their parents don't quite know what that career means.
Yes, I know. It's like, you know, they see, you know, I try to show them stuff, but, you know, they're supportive in whatever capacity they can, so.
And you started first in art direction and graphic design after school, right?
Yes, so, I mean, with a degree in illustration, that was kind of hard to get a job kind of just as an illustrator, and I was panicking, you know, you graduated, you wanted to kind of, you know, get a job and support yourself. So I did go into graphic design. So, and it was for all for kids stuff.
And so how did you make the transition to freelance?
Well, about 10 years ago, I was art directing and I was actually starting to go back into illustration on the side, and I was kind of freelancing at nighttime, and it was really too much. And In the span of things, I got an illustration agent who I'm still with today. And I was just kind of working full time and then freelancing, and it was just something had to give. And so I just kind of made the jump and went to illustration, and one of the best advice I got was that, hey, if it doesn't work out, you can always get a full-time job. It doesn't have to be kind of this permanent thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that kind of gave me a good boost to say, okay, let me try this out for myself. You know, back then I wasn't married. I didn't have kids, you know? So it was like, just for me, just from, you know, to support myself. So that was, it was a good time for me to make the transition.
Do you think that having an agent in the children's market was really important to being able to make that transition?
I think it was in the sense for me, but it, you know, when I got my agent, it took a while before I got work and I was confident in getting work. So, and you know, still now 10 years later, freelancing, it's a very up and down thing. 1 year could be really great. Next year can be not so great. But I feel like just a combination of just getting that agent, and I was getting steady work. And just the fact that I wasn't, you know, I really wanted to try it out. It was a good time. I didn't have too much financial burden. I was just single. I was by myself. And and also just working full time and freelancing, it was starting to get a little bit too much. I was starting to crash and burn. So it was like I had to pick one or the other. So, I mean, I love my agent. She's great. So she was definitely a big part of me being very confident and, okay, let me try this out.
For people who are interested in getting into the children's market, do you feel like currently having an agent is really important, or is it not necessary for everybody?
I think I kind of like to warn people that not all agents are created equal. So just because you get an agent doesn't mean that everything will be all lovely and great. So I love my agent, but it's like you have to find the right fit, and you know, and freelancing, they can only do so much for you. I feel like I also kind of try to help myself. I don't think that anybody who gets an agent should be like, this is it, and you can sit back and relax. I think it's good that you are in control of your own career. But with that said, I think in children's food, there are people who doesn't have agents and they do great. So for me, it was good to have somebody on my side and to negotiate for me and to get my work out there. But it's not impossible if you don't have an agent. So I don't want to discourage anybody who don't.
What sort of promotion do you do now?
Well, for now, it's been a lot of my Bear and Chicken, my book that I wrote and illustrated, came out. So that I am doing a lot of things for that book to try to get noticed. Just more doing book signings and getting involved with, you know, conferences, and I think more of the networking aspect of it and learning how to get into selling my book into people's hands. It's all new to me. So, and besides that, you know, the usual, like being social media, making new work, which I honestly haven't been doing as much as I would like, but, you know, trying to send postcards, trying to connect with people. I think that's the best way.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you feel like your work, you've always known you wanted to work for the children's market. And your work is, of course, very well suited to that. Did you ever experiment with trying to go darker or trying to get into, you know, like editorial or anything like that?
I know, it's funny. I think the one quote unquote grown up thing that I did was some comics that I did about my life about a couple years ago. It was kind of a personal project. I moved from New York City to Michigan at the time, and I was having kind of a hard time transitioning from like a city life to a smaller city. And so I kind of wrote a comic book about, like a biographical comic about my life. And I think that was as much grown up as I'm going to get with my work. I drew myself as just chicken. I drew my husband as a chicken, and it was very kind of kid friendly, but there wasn't anything too dark, but it was more, you know, adult topics and grown up topics. And I guess I think I try to do more, you know, grown up work, but I think it always ends up being a little bit more younger. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe in the future. Yeah.
Is that available for people to read? Like, is it published anywhere? Is it on your website?
Oh gosh. Well, it's funny. I did it as a part of that sketchbook project, and the original sketchbook that I did the whole comic is at the Brooklyn Art Library, I think.
Okay.
And you can check it out if you're there. But I had it on my Flickr account, but I don't have it anymore. But I probably should have it up somewhere. It's a part of my life that I like to think about, and it'd be nice to go back and look on it.
Oh, and you are in Boston now, correct?
I am, yes.
So how did you make the transition from New York to Ann Arbor to Boston?
Well, all these moves are because of my husband, and he's in academia, so that's why he moved here. And I've been here for about 5 years now, and it's been good. I love this area so much. What a difference from Michigan to here. It's so many kid-led people, so many creatives, and just so many resources. So I'm loving it here, definitely.
Yeah. Well, your husband teaches?
Yes, he's a mathematician.
So. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
My husband's sort of in academia too, so I'm somewhat familiar with the job market. And
yes, yes. So we're still, you know, he's still looking to something more permanent. So I don't know how long I'm going to be here for, but you know, in the meanwhile, it's like, I love this area.
Yeah. And what about your background personally? You lived in Hong Kong for the first part of your childhood, right?
Yeah, I was born there, and I lived there till I was 9. And then I moved to Philadelphia when I was 9, and just had my child. So yeah, I haven't been back to Hong Kong in such a long time. I was thinking about bringing my daughter there. There are talks about it, so we will see.
You still have a lot of family there?
Oh, definitely, yes. I mean, my parents go back and forth from Philadelphia to Hong Kong all the time. My dad still has a business there, so he's probably going to retire soon. But yeah, they definitely kind of go back and forth. So,
was it work that brought him to the U.S.?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. Better, you know, the classic immigrant story, you know, to give a better life for the kids. So my siblings, all grew up in the Philadelphia area, and then we kind of scattered all over the place. But yeah, we're here, and I should probably go take a visit soon.
What was the transition like for you moving so far?
Oh gosh, it was, you know, you don't know what you get yourself into. Your parents are like, you're moving to a different country. And when you're at that age, you're like, okay. My sister was young. My sister was in kindergarten. So for me, I was in like fourth grade coming here. We learned a little bit of English in Hong Kong. So I wasn't completely without English, but it obviously wasn't that great. So kind of learning that and learning a new culture. There's just so many things and thoughts that I kind of want to put in a story in children's books, especially now. And, you know, children's publishing, there's a lot of talk about diversity, and I kind of want to put my spin on it. You know, I mean, I'm pretty Americanized, so, but those little experiences, you know, coming from Hong Kong to here, I kind of want to sprinkle that in my stories someday.
Yeah.
In my
books. Mm-hmm. Oh, and how old is your daughter?
She is 5. She's going to be 6 next month. Wow. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yikes. Yes. She's in kindergarten, and all the books I've been working on is kind of like her, you know, geared toward her age. You know, the picture books I have out is her, you know, her age group. So I'm thinking as she gets older, I'm hoping to maybe do more books that are kind of geared towards her age group.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Does she like the books and products and things that you have that you've done?
Yeah, she does. She's a little bit spoiled because I get a lot of, you know, this publisher send me samples of the work I did. And it's like, you know, the packages come and she thinks it's like for her. Present, you know, like she probably thinks all parents have like just like endless amount of like toys and puzzles and books that come and it's for her. So
yeah,
she benefits. But it's funny, I do a lot of younger kids stuff in the board books and the novelty books. And she's, you know, growing out of that now that she's in, you know, kindergarten. So I do realize well, some of the stuff that I'm going to work on, she's not going to be interested anymore. So it's a very small window, you know, enjoy them while we can.
What are some of the other books that she likes currently?
She likes, you mean just any books or?
Yeah. Like picture books or.
Oh gosh.
Is she's not reading yet, right?
She reads a little bit. I tried. It's funny. She has so many books, you know, by my friends. We go to book signings and whatnot. One of the things books we like is called Mr. Postmouse's Rounds. And it's something I picked out that I thought it was for me. And she happened to like too. But she, right now, she, it's kind of sad because she is really into My Little Pony. And she picks out all the My Little Pony chapter books that, you know, I think before when I was like, who, what parent would buy them all these licensee books when there's so many beautiful picture books and chapter books out there? But, you know, there's a Scholastic Book Fair at school. And of course, she just goes right to, you know, the My Little Pony, this and that. So I don't know, I'm trying to help her.
My daughter just a couple of months ago got one of those, the little flyers that, at least when I was a kid, they were called Weekly Reader. There was like probably like this, probably the same thing, the Scholastic. Yes. Like, and I just remember getting that and like circling all the things I wanted to get, bringing it home, being so excited. And now I'm so excited that she's getting it, even though she's too young to like pick things out in that way.
How old is she?
She just turned 3.
Oh my God. Oh, that's a good age.
She's kind of a wild animal.
Oh yeah. That's a good age to be. That's tough. Oh yeah. That's fun. That's fun.
So how do you handle the, or excuse me, how did you handle the transition to parenthood?
Oh gosh. I mean, I was listening to some of your podcasts. I'm like, I when I was listening, I was like, oh, I hear you, mamas. I hear you. It's like, we all had this crazy notion of thinking that our baby's going to sit next to our desk while we work and paint. And it's just completely not true. And I think we need to talk about it more. Like, we all need help, right? There's no being a parent and working at the same exact time. You get help. And for me, there was a moment where it hit me hard because I think I was still working a little bit after my daughter was born. My husband took the semester off of teaching, so I was really lucky in that sense that he was around to help me in the very beginning stages, like, you know, when she was a newborn till about 6-7 months. But there were jobs where I had to say no to. I remember there was a job where I can do a mural. I had to go to New York, and I was in Michigan at a time, and I remember that particular job being really hard on me, like the sudden realization, like, oh, I have a kid now. I can't really just like hop on a plane and go here or just do a lot of the things I wanted to do. But now I've learned to kind of like, okay, this is the way it is. And we have to work within our kid's schedule. And, you know, I had my daughter in daycare probably when she was around 2.5 years old. And I mean, now I have more my time back because she's in kindergarten. So it's been a lot of ups and downs for sure.
Did you plan in advance to take time off or just kind of winging it, I guess?
I was in the beginning, I was definitely winging it. I mean, everybody told me to take time off. You know, you should take time off. But I think a lot of us, we don't want to give it up. We don't want to think that, oh, just because you're a mom, then no more working for you. Mm-hmm. So I knew a lot of clients knew that I was having the baby, and I was actually really grateful when clients emailed me, you know, they're like, hey, do you want to take this job? And even though they knew I had a baby, and I was like, oh yes, yes. And I was able to handle it. You know, they were little jobs that, you know, had a very nice deadline, but it was kind of more like winging it. I was like, okay, if this something is too intense, then I'll just say no. But I was not planning to stop.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's good. I feel like a lot of people have the opposite fear that, you know, people aren't going to call them for much longer than they would prefer, because when people find out that they're having a baby.
Yes. I mean, I didn't tell a lot of my clients till a lot later, because I was actually, my pregnancy was not the best. I was on bed rest for a while. And so I was a little bit afraid of what was going to happen. So really, really close. I was probably like 7 months maybe pregnant before I started to tell one of my art directors, one of these picture books I was working on, because I was a little afraid I wasn't going to finish. So I was like, I better tell her, let her know what's going on in case, you know, I can't finish this book. it all worked out in the end. But yeah, it's funny how that goes. Like, you know, the decision to say something or not say something, you know, to tell or not to tell.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever on any conference calls with while nursing or anything like that?
Oh my God, I had a conference call where this is like the worst story because my husband was here thinking, well, then she was here and my daughter was maybe two. And basically she banged on my door, on my office door the whole time while I was having this conference call. And, you know, my husband was here supposed to take care of her, but I don't even know what happened. But
yeah.
I guess these things happen. Yeah. But now I feel like now that she's older, I don't have that. I definitely can have a talk with her and say, you know, mommy's having a conference call or having a talk. You're going to, if the door is closed, you're not supposed to come in. And that usually works out. But when they're really little, like, you know, two or three, they're toddler age, like your daughter's age.
It's hard
to say, you know, have a logical talk about banging on the door. Yes. So.
Well, I'm glad to hear that that's coming. Right now, so my studio is basically up in our attic and we have two entrances. So sometimes I will go out the front door as if I'm actually leaving the house and then come back around the back door and go all the way up. Actually thinks that I'm gone because otherwise she'll give him such a hard time.
Wow, that is genius. Oh, that's great. You do what you gotta do.
Yeah, I've got like my cup of tea and like my everything. I'm going around the back. It's, yeah.
Wow.
It works.
Brilliant. Yes, whatever works. Whatever works.
Do you have a separate studio in your home?
I don't. I mean, we just have a small place and we just have the second bedroom. That's mine. I mean, I think before I had my desk set up in the bedroom and that doesn't work out really well. So we have a second bedroom, which has better light. And we just kind of use that as my office kind of / playroom / storage. Yeah, but it works for now.
When she was really young, did you have babysitters on a regular basis at all, like before she was in daycare, or was she just home with you all the time?
No, I finally, I definitely got a babysitter when I was when she was 8 months old, we moved to Boston. And so she was getting a little bit more, you know, active. And I definitely got a babysitter. And the moms with kids who nap, have a nice nap, regular nap schedule. I never had that. So in order for me to have some sanity and regular work schedule, I had a babysitter come in about maybe twice a week or three times a week. And yeah, it's just for a couple hours so I can kind of, you know, check in emails, do a little bit of work, get some sanity in. And I would, you know, and I'll be in the same place, you know, I'm just like literally in the next room while the babysitter is with my daughter. And sometimes she is sleeping. So I'm paying somebody to watch my daughter sleep sometimes, which drove me insane.
Yeah.
But my daughter didn't have like a regular nap schedule. So I just, in order to get a regular schedule for me, I had to get somebody in. So yes, definitely, you know, I'm getting help. It cost me a lot of money and daycare and preschool cost me a lot, but I, you know, looking back, it really is, worth every penny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's good for them too.
It is. My daughter is pretty, you know, sociable. So now, so it all works out. You know, I feel like she is able to be, you know, very independent at a young age. So it's a good thing.
When you had a babysitter there and you were working, was it difficult for you to separate yourself mentally from what the babysitter was doing or what your daughter was doing while you were trying to work?
It's funny because the babysitter is actually, I felt like I trusted my babysitter, but it was funny how that my babysitter was, it was easier than my husband. If my husband was taking care of my daughter, there's no chance that the door was not being knocked and come in. But the babysitter really kind of respected my space. She never came into, and I, you know, it's like literally, we don't have a big place, so I can literally hear what they're doing next door.
Yeah.
And if like something I was concerned about, I can always like just go open the door and check what was going on. But I feel like the babysitter really was like, just, yeah, that her job was to keep her out of my hair for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. And she did it. And versus if my husband did it, it was, you know, every 15 minutes the door is opened and there's something that needs help with, or so it worked out pretty well.
Your daughter is obviously older than mine at this point. But even if she's in kindergarten, you know, it's still parenting, of course, is still a lot of work.
Yes.
So for me, experimentation is the one thing that I wish I could do more of at home. How do you find the time and space in your life and in your brain for experimentation in your work?
Oh, that is something I am struggling with right now. I feel like now that I have a little bit of time back because she's in kindergarten, I think there's a lot of mental energy that takes up, I feel like more now than when she was younger, because there's a lot more, like there's homework, there's scheduling, there's play dates, there's activities. So it's interesting how you're using a different kind of energy now for me, for somebody who's with an older kid. I don't know if I would like to get back to kind of more experimentation, because I want to do more trade picture books. And so in order to do that, I really need to turn out a little bit newer, more experimental work. But I don't know what to tell you. I'm still struggling with this myself. So, but I feel like now that I have that book that came out, I have a little bit more time to mentally think. But I am a little bit crazy about writing things down and what I'm going to do each day. Mm-hmm. So that always helps. Like, I know I have this X amount of time, so I'm going to allot all this time to this, and this.
Yeah.
that helps a little bit. But yes, when they're older, I feel like the mental energy comes from, more mental energy comes from like the scheduling their schedule. I feel like every little thing that is on her plate is added, it's basically on my plate to accommodate. So yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Yes, yes. So
when you're in the middle of a project, what's a typical day of work like for you?
So
if there is one, I guess.
I don't know if there is. I guess now that she's in kindergarten, so she goes to school, I drop her off, or my husband drops her off. And so, yeah, and then I just work. I'm basically very disciplined about working the whole time that she is not, she's in school. So for me, there's no, you know, I don't really like to run errands. I don't really like to do anything that's not work related. So I like to get my butt in the chair the whole time. And so when she comes home, it's really done for me. But sometimes she has activities, like if she has ballet, I can take her. But I know that I have 45 minutes in the, you know, to sit there while she has her different activities. And so I bring my iPad and I sketch whatever I need to sketch or think about ideas that, or, you know, promotional ideas, marketing ideas, story ideas in that 45-minute span. She's in dance class. And yeah, and the day kind of goes really quickly. So, and then there's like dinner time and bedtime. And I can't really work at night anymore, because I feel like I used to be a night owl, but at nighttime now I kind of want to unwind. I kind of want to watch some Netflix, you know. Yeah. So the day just goes really, really quickly.
Yeah. By the time they're in bed, there's not a lot left for relaxation.
No, I mean, and I do have to kind of I have to do the extra things. No, it can't be work, work, work all the time. I feel like maybe, even 10 years ago, I can just work all day, work all night. But now I feel like there are other things in life that I kind of really need to enjoy too. So I'm trying to find a balance. I hate that work, you know, whole work-life balance thing, but I'm trying to do better now.
So your debut picture book, or author and illustrator picture book, Bear and Chicken, is out now. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. I'm excited. Yes, I just had a book launch 2 weeks ago. It was very surreal. But yeah, it's out there and I'm trying to kind of go out and do all these new things that I don't know how, you know, connecting with bookstores and selling it and doing story time. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to read. I haven't gotten a hold of a copy yet. But I know my daughter's going to love it, because if it involves bears, she's really into it. So,
oh, three is the best. I don't know. I love that age, 2-3. They're always like fun things for a 3-year-old. They outgrow it and go move on to other things so quickly. So,
that's true. Yeah. Well, if you want to borrow her for a little while, you're close by. You can keep her for a few days if you want.
Yes. I know, right?
Is your daughter babysit yet?
I know. Oh gosh. I wish she gets like older and yeah, I know, right?
Well, so as far as that, the book, had you been working on the story for a while or how did it come to be?
I've been working on this story for so long. These two characters came to me when I was living in Michigan. So that was about 7 years ago. And, but I think moving here gave me a good kick in the pants to really finish the story. There's just so many interesting kid lit people here that helped me push the book along and push the writing. And so, yeah, it took about 7 years. It got sold about, I think, last year. It came out pretty quickly. I think this book could have been in a 2018 list, but instead we just got it in fall 2017 list. So from the point of like selling it and having it, the book out was pretty quick, but the idea and the whole beginning, it took a long, long time. But I'm really proud of it because I finished a story that I wrote, which was really hard for me. So
I love the concept of the story. For those who don't know, the broad strokes are that a bear finds a chicken frozen out in the snow, brings it home to defrost it, but the chicken believes that it's being cooked for soup. And I love stories that have that, like, a little bit of, in this case, it's not exactly scary, but there's like a little weird darkness about that, you know, like, like John Classen's, I Want My Hat Back.
Yes.
You know, like, what happened to the bunny?
I like the darkness. I mean, I feel like maybe my work is always so innocent all the time. I guess this is how I get my kind of grown up, a little bit more darkness into my work is that, and all is well in the end.
Yeah.
No worries, everyone. sometimes I was thinking like, oh, is this too dark? Because there's like a part where the bear is like kind of holding a cleaver, but I think it's just sweet and it's all is well in the end.
But yeah. Well, it's certainly, it's funny to think about that as it relates to really old stories and the darkness that as a kid you didn't realize. My daughter recently got a copy of Goldilocks and the Three Bears, and it's really kind of an old fashioned version of the story. And at the end, it's funny because, Goldilocks jumps out the window and runs off into the woods. And the end of the book is like, and nobody could say what happened to her. But the bears did never see her again. I thought it was so strange. This girl wandering in the woods and nobody knows where she went.
I think there's even like darker versions, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure there probably are.
Where like she's eaten or something. I don't know. There's many versions of like, I feel like, these fairy tales, they kind of are very, very dark. And I probably throughout the years, they change it to be a little bit more,
right.
Vague
more
and
palatable.
More palatable. But it's interesting.
Have you always written your own stories and are you writing more currently?
I feel like in illustrations, I've always done picture books, kind of books that illustrations always telling a story, but I've never actually was always afraid of words, actually. But now that I have Bear and Chicken under my belt, I really love writing. I've been studying it for the past few years, so I definitely want to write more. I have a few book dummies that I'm cooking right now, but, nothing solid yet, but I'm excited about, so we'll see. It's a long process for sure, but I have things that I'm working on.
What kind of books did you like as a child?
Oh gosh,
picture books or otherwise.
My favorite is, I always mention, is Richard Scarry, The Busy Busy Town, which is one of my favorites. This picture book, my parents, when my family moved from Hong Kong to Philadelphia, my parents just decided to buy a bunch of, English picture books for us. And that was one of the books that we had in the house. And I loved it. It was my favorite because it was all anthropomorphic animals and everything was labeled for some reason. And I love when things are labeled like that, like this is a police officer, this is a house, and all the little side cutouts of the houses and how things worked. So, and it just feels like very cozy and innocent, this little animal world. So that was one of my favorites. And I feel like that's a big influence of my work now, just for the past 10 years. Just everything I do is have that flavor of coziness and anthropomorphic animals and innocent world kind of feel.
Does your daughter like those books? Has she seen
does. Them? She does. I think it's funny how I realize I try not to push things on her because but she does like them too. So she does like the little animal characters. And so I have this weird subtle influence on her. Like for Bear and Chicken, I for the book launch, I did a how to draw chicken kind of worksheet for the kids to do. And the other day she decided to do her own how to draw different things. And I was like, oh my goodness. I didn't realize like how much influence I have on her until I see these little things.
That's really cute.
Too. Yeah. So.
Well, I was going to ask if she draws much or tells stories or anything.
She does draw. Yeah. But I always say I can't tell her what to do because I think as soon as I try to teach her, like very conscious, like, oh, let me try to teach her something. She is not having it. I'm art managing her. But then, when I'm seeing her doing her own thing, I can see that I'm influencing her. So I'll just kind of sit back and let it naturally occur. But she likes to draw too.
Has she had any chance to do any digital art?
So I have Procreate on my iPad and she has it on hers too.
Oh.
So she is doing work on Procreate, but I really try to have her just do like traditional mediums if I can. I know that eventually she'll probably want to be all on the computer, but for now we still like crayons, we still like pencils, she still likes paint. So, but yeah, she has Procreate on her iPad. Yes.
Can you, I suppose you can do that with just your finger then, right? You don't have to have a stylus for that.
No. Yeah. You can just use your finger. I mean, she doesn't have a pro. She doesn't have.
Right.
Yeah. But it's just her fingers. And I mean, she's not obviously using all the functions. Like she doesn't work in layers or anything, but just the different brush strokes and different textures and just how easily you can pick up different colors. So
yeah. Oh, I like that. I like that idea. I might have to download that for her.
Yeah. And it's like so cheap too, Procreate's cheap.
Yeah.
It's a cheap app. So.
So are you able to draw any inspiration from her directly?
I am, because now that I really know her personality, like I'm picking up personalities of her and her specific age group and all her friends' personalities. The more that I'm with, kids that age, I'm able to pick up like all the little things that they find funny, for instance, and what's not funny, what kind of stories like they like to hear. So yeah, and I feel like now I never thought I would be into kind of chapter books, but now that she's getting older and she's getting into chapter books, I can maybe take a stab at doing chapter books as well. I don't know, we'll see. But yes, just daily inspiration. I do have a file on my app on my phone that has like all these funny things that she says and all these ideas that I don't know, all the funny things that she says, that gives me ideas and I just kind of put it down and save it for future use.
Yeah.
It's all gold. So
what for you is the hardest part of parenting at her current age?
Oh boy. I think what I said was about just the mental energy of, because now that I have my time back, because when she was in preschool and all that, I was thinking, oh, for her to be in elementary school, I'll have my time back. But now it's a lot about shipping her to activities, helping her with homework. So a lot of what she has on her plate goes to my plate, like I was saying. So it feels like just a lot more to do, even though I have more free time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have to be even more organized, I think. So
What advice would you give to somebody who is working freelance and is considering having children?
Oh, gosh. Wow. That's, you have to get help. There's no, I don't think mothers and freelance creatives and just freelancers and work from home moms, really say out loud is that there is no, your kid, sitting next to you and working quietly while you do your work for hours on end. You have to get help. Babysitters, daycare, you know, anything to kind of have your own time, because my daughter would paint with next to me for, you know, for maybe 45 minutes. And that's really, that's a big, big, a long time.
That's very unusual. Good,
yeah. But you know, in reality, on an everyday basis, if you really need to get work done, you really have to hire help or just have a game plan, because there is no, like, you know, being a mom and working, you know, in mm-hmm. the same space at the same time. And it's worth every penny, daycare, yeah. especially in, you know, in our area, this, like, daycare is not, I feel like yeah. I was reading, like, Massachusetts has, like, one of the highest daycare costs.
Oh, great.
In the country or something like that. And I was like, oh, great. But, you know, it's worth it if this is something you want to do. And don't, you know, we're not all super moms, you know, kind of like typing and working and feeding and changing diapers all at the same time. You know, there needs to be, you need help.
And, yeah. Yeah. It's especially hard if you don't have family in the area who can
exactly, you
know, come at a moment's notice.
We don't have any family. So treasure your parents, treasure the grandparents who can take them. You know, it does take a village. So,
yeah. So for people who want to know more about you and find your book and all that sort of thing, where should they go online?
I am at chickengirldesign.com or my name, janieho.com works too. So I'm on all the social medias. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. It's either my name, Janie Ho, or Chicken Girl Design. You can look me up, and I'd love to connect with everybody.
Great. Well, thanks again so much for giving your time and agreeing to be on the show. It was lovely to chat with you.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again to Janie for agreeing to be on the show. It was great chatting with her, and I cannot wait to read Bear and Chicken. And of course, you can go to her website and see all the other books and products that you can find her lovely work on. You can find out more about my work and about the show at michellekondrich.com/creativeplaydate. And you can follow me on Twitter at Miss Illustrator and Instagram at mkondrich. Thank you to Illustration Age for syndicating the show. And thank you to Thomas James and Jason Ritz for our theme music. I hope everyone is enjoying the start of the holiday season. And if you are a new listener to the show, thank you, of course. Welcome. And I've got 11 other episodes that would make great travel companions if you will be traveling for the holidays. If you're enjoying the show, please be sure to tell a friend and rate and review us on iTunes. Thanks again for listening. Now go play.